This is a special supplement to Natural Solutions with Dr. J, where we talk about Bank Code, which is a personality typing system and method which can help you improve your communication with other people, and that will be good for your health. So, here we go with the next interview about Bank Code and other relevant topics. For further information about Bank Code, go to fourcards.com. That's FOURCARDS.com. Once again, that is four, FOUR-CARDS.com for your information about Bank Code. So, greetings. This is Dr. J at Natural Solutions with Dr. J, and I'm very, very pleased today to have Kelly Gilliland as my guest on the program. And I'm at a special series of seminars and a big international summit on Bank Code, where I met Kelly a month or so ago at another training, and we are both certified trainers with Bank Code, and in both now sales as well as in relationships and how to use that. And so Kelly's a fantastic guy. He's a Bank Code certified and licensed trainer. He is a Navy veteran of 10 years, and after he left the Navy, there were some difficulties that he had as a veteran getting out, trying to figure out what job to get. And so through that personal experience, he has a lot of experience in helping veterans, and he does this also, helping veterans leave the military and figure out how to use their training and how to reframe it so that the training they got in the Navy is something that civilian life will understand their capabilities and the great abilities that they may have, which they may not exactly know how to state, right? I think you mentioned that before. And so he's done a lot of Cisco training and Windows training for the Navy using those systems in their
day-to-day
routine, right? And he also has master's in project management and systems security, and that's like computer systems.
Yeah.
Right? And then in that capacity also, because of his ability to connect with students using Bank Code, he is an adjunct professor at DeVries University. And that's been for 6 years. Now, you had mentioned something about some of the other professors weren't there that long because the teaching style, a lot of the students said, I'm not learning anything. Tell me a little bit about that.
Correct. A lot in training, when professors come up, they get their PhD and it's all been lecture-based stuff. And in today's world, a lot of students can't sit and just be lectured to get everything. There's a different mentality. So I took Bank Code and I coded my students to find out what their codes were. And I turned around and took my teaching style to be more hands-on approach to the students.
So, and was that as a result of what you found with the Bank Code? Can you just give us like a 2-minute explanation of what Bank Code is about? And then we'll get back to the teaching.
Bank Code is a personality-based system. It's just like DISC and Briggs-Myers, completely the same but totally different. What this does is help you figure out the personality, learning styles, or communication styles of someone you're talking to within about 90 seconds.
All right, fantastic.
So as a teacher, I want to come with my students. I want to get them to learn as quickly and as efficiently as possible. They're paying a lot of money to learn something, and we have a short time to do it.
So. And that's why you want them to actually learn quickly, is because they paid a lot of money. You're there as a teacher. You take it to heart.
Yeah.
And so you want them to learn, and then that's one of the reasons why they keep inviting you back, apparently.
Yeah, I keep getting invited back to come back and teach. The students love me. They call me one of the hard professors, but they know that once I leave that class, they know the material.
Mm-hmm. So these are all just these aren't military people at DeVries, or are they?
There are a few, because I'm in San Diego, so it's a few active duty military. Right. But there's a lot of veterans who've gotten out, mm-hmm. or other people who are just looking to further their education to make it in today's market, to having marketable skills.
Right. Now, is this actually in a classroom, or is this virtual?
It's all classroom.
It's all classroom. All right. All right.
I like the one-on-one, giving that personal touch to my teaching, mm-hmm. to my students.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So it only takes you about what? there are several different ways that as individuals who know bank coding that we use to code someone else. What method do you use with your students initially just to figure that out?
What I do with the students, because I'm so a little bit different, is I take the bank cards, our value cards that we have, I scan them into a PowerPoint presentation that I just put up on the screen, and I tell the students to read them, put them in the order, put them on a 3x5 card with their name, and then pass them back to me.
Ah, so you put all four up on a slideshow.
Slideshow, yeah. And I just say, whichever one speaks to you the most, put it down. Same thing as if a certified trainer or bank trainer is out there doing it with a live person. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take up that much time in my class. So they get it, they give it back, and they're always wondering what's this for.
Right.
So I don't let them know until later on, this is what I'm doing. And then after I've given out homework assignments or I've started teaching in that the way that they like, then they understand. While some people's got more of a dictated ABC 123, oh, now you're the group leader. This is the person I want to do research. So I code them and then have them in their teams doing what they do best.
Wow. I know that in my practice, it's more like one-on-one. And so when patients come in, I have them fill out all the usual medical forms and things like that. And then I give them the bank cards and have them sort it so that I can more one-on-one individually communicate with them and get across information about, let's say I think they need to actually come in 3 times a week for like 2 months. And in order to explain that to them, I try to match their bank code, which I didn't do before. And I used to just give them, I'm a K-type, so I used to give them piles of information. And for certain people who just want the bullet points, it's like too much.
Yeah.
And so once I learned to match that, then I could educate them more effectively and actually have them buy into a program they really needed to get healthy. So, but that's so fascinating the way that you do that, because you have teams of people actually in the classroom. Because I don't deal with teams. I mean, patients are just one-on-one. So the setting is a little different, because sometimes there's group education, right?
I have up to about 10 students, 10 to 12 students per class. So I put them in an equal number of group if I can and say who's the team leader and how to work. And I take their...
So you suggest who... The team leader should be.
I suggest who the team leader is based on their code.
And so they're learning something about how to use codes as they're being educated in that setting.
Yeah, I started doing that so they can learn, okay,
that's
this
brilliant.
Is a blueprint.
That's great.
Oh, this is how, if I'm in management, how I need to approach it. Now, they're not grasping that right off the top because they're too busy trying to learn all the technical stuff. But the students who've gone through the 4-year program that I've taught at DeVry, they come back later on and they kind of got it. As they've, because I have them for about 20 classes throughout their pipeline.
Oh, wow.
So they
interesting.
Get this to come back. So now they get a little bit more. So it's a little my twist of giving it to them.
That's fantastic. I know that I have 2 daughters. One's 14, one's 21 now. And in one of the private schools they went to is a Jewish day school. One of the math teachers actually knew NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and he actually figured out what their primary mode of operating was, and he would teach according to that to the students. So it's actually, I think it's education at a very high level where you're matching your teaching style to the individual students so that they learn the best. And so using bank code, I think, is a very, very similar thing, different from NLP, but that's fantastic. I love that. And so your experience has been that's been positive.
It's been positive where because technical is so high, everyone thinks, oh, I can just quickly learn and get this, especially learning Cisco environment. And it's not that simple. It's learning another language. Coming in and they realizing what they have to do. First year, it was, 50% dropping rate for students So I'm like, this is not good. Let's beef it up. So this last year, my graduating class, I only had one person drop, and that was due to
out
a family.
Out of 4 years or something?
Out of 4 years.
Wow.
For that, my pipeline that I knew of for dealing with doing this. And it's just learning how to give the students what they need to learn the best.
Right.
And it takes the instructor teacher out of their thing. You have to learn how to take your skills and turn around and match it. So it's a learning environment for everyone.
So you're matching the way that you're teaching them to their personality style to enhance their ability to actually absorb it more quickly and more effectively, so it's going to last and stick in their brain.
Yeah, because I'm not really of a blueprint, so I really had to take my teaching style to learn how to do a better blueprint for the students who were the blueprints.
Right.
To give them
their
direction, to give them what they need, because I'm off the cuff. Oh, we're going to talk about this. I know what I need to cover, and I just teach it.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be in order. It may not follow the book. And I saw the frustration with the students. I'm like, all right, this is what we're going to cover. it's in there, mix it around a little bit, so I hit everyone, and then go through.
So you're more action type.
I'm very action
type. Very action type. So the action type, explain that slightly to the audience.
Action type is, A, I do not like to follow rules as much. I like to do things that are spontaneous, that are fun, that excitement. And especially when you're learning computers and Ciscos and all, it's kind of boring when you're looking at the code. So I like, let's hands-on. Let's throw you on the machine. Let's start learning. And they realize that it's not as simple. It's not, oh, I have to really know how to get in and how to do this. And from simple things of hooking up, the machine's going back and forth to what cable type. So I'm like, all right, you messed up. Go back again. Find out which one. And I'm not going to give you the answer. Go out and find it. So I can see then the K's come in who want to find the research. And they're going to say, hey, professor, this is what the cable we need. And this is what we're going to do. So it's all...
So in that teaching environment, dealing with computers, I know that the... In general, there's sort of K-types are considered to be the computer geeks or something like that, right? Do you find that to be true, or is it a little more difficult for, like, A-types to do this kind of thing, and they have to be coached a little more because they're less in that thinking mode or something?
K-types, yeah, because they're going to read, they're going to know the latest technology is going to be out there. So it might be a little bit easier for them, but because they're not really – a lot of K-types are not social. They don't like to communicate. I put them in. Now you're one-on-one mentor. Teach this other student what you just learned. So now they have to – what they just learned, they have to now reiterate to another student, and now it helps them out. And it may be that A student who's all – it's about them. Oh, now I have to listen to someone who is not all action, who's more of the solid little geeky type. Have to show me what to do. So it makes it a little bit humble, in my opinion, but it also gives everyone a sense to working with everyone that this person, you need to understand how to communicate a little bit better.
So it's not only learning things like in the learning environment, them being able to learn that, but there's also, I know education also, one-on-one education versus more virtual, where there may be a professor and there's some interaction that can happen, but actually being face to face with people in a social situation is actually training them in social skills that they may encounter on a job, say. Yeah.
Because a lot of people who are in the technical field, they come up with, why do I need to dress this way? Why do I need to write this stuff? I'm doing computers. And you're like, you're going to have to go up to your management. You're going to go have to talk to these people. How do you approach someone who may be an accountant, a.k.a. bean counter, give them a little nickname there, how to approach them and say, this is why we need to buy this router that's going to cost $100,000. And they're thinking, why can't we get the $20,000 router? And you have to be able to explain that of how to explain it to them in their terminology.
Right.
So you take in the geeky sense, putting it into an accounting sense. And then, hey, this is what's going to be the bottom line. This is going to help productivity. So if you can put that in that sense, it helps them out. And that's what I tried to get them to understand. They have to sell themselves up there for running the gear or running the networks that they have within the companies that they're going to be working for.
Right. And so once these individuals have graduated from the program and you have this very high recently, this hugely successful graduation rate, decreased dropout rate, right? And so DeVries likes that because they want their students to be successful, and they also want the students to be there because they need the revenue stream. Yeah.
It's the pipeline that the students that I work with. I can't account for the students that I do, but the students who come through for the networking, they tend to have – I watch them when they go walk the line. I can see them graduate more.
Right.
And that's my pride and joy of seeing them walk across the stage accomplishing something that not many students do.
And so you've been doing that for 6 years. And so have some of your students come back to you and said, wow, I got this job or things like that?
I've had lots of students come back to me and tell me that they've gone on to pursue their master's. They've gotten great jobs out there. They've come – and I get phone calls. Hey, professor, can you help explain this, or you can help do this? So I always get the follow-on questions. This is something new. How do I do it? And I continue to turn it into a learning environment. I'm like, okay, where would we go find this? How would you do this if I'm your – subordinate, or I'm your new person, how are you going to teach me how to do this? So I continue to do that out there and watch them grow.
Fantastic. So now you've been doing bank code for how many years now?
I have been a licensed trainer just a little over a year now, but I've been using bank for almost 4 years now.
Wow. So you know a lot about it, and you really find that it's very, very helpful.
I find it's very helpful, even in everyday conversations. So when you meet someone in an elevator and you don't want to do a sales pitch, but you want to say hi, and you can learn how to talk to someone. You can tell, okay, there may be a K-type, so they're not very social because you can tell how they dress.
Right.
talk about, hey, did you watch The Big Bang Theory last night? Or catch something that they might know about in the environment that you're in, right? Or if it's someone's an A-type, you're going to compliment them on their watches or their, you know, lady with their shoes or handbags. Like, that's a nice pair of handbag or shoes. And it just breaks the ice a little bit because in our society, we're so afraid just to approach someone and say hi at times.
People, yeah, there is that you're right. So if some of your students came back and they said, you know, I learned a lot of things in your class, but that bank code thing, that was really fascinating. I want to learn more. What direction would you tell them? I mean, like, you are a certified trainer.
I would go up to them and I said, hey, what do you want to do? Do you want to learn about bank? Do you want to understand how to communicate and increase whatever you're doing, whether if you're in sales or if you're in a relationship? Because bank is such a fundamental thing in relationships of helping couples to communicate better, to understand.
Right.
So I would ask them and say, what do you want to do? And then map out a pipeline for them.
Great. So we're both trainers, but if someone wanted to get a hold of you, how would they get a hold of you in order to sign up for the trainings? You do live trainings?
I do live trainings. That's what I prefer, the one-on-one.
Yeah.
The best way is to find me is bankcode.com/Kelly_G. And that'll get you in the system. It'll code you for me. And then I put in your email address and your phone number, and I can return right back to you and start talking and communicating with you.
Excellent. So it's bankcode.com, bankcode.com/Kelly
_G.
Yeah. So it's sort of like mine. Mine's Dr. J at the end. But fantastic. That's great because I think you'd be doing your students a service. Maybe you have no connection with them in the future. I mean, maybe you don't know how to get in touch with them. But if you are listening right now, all right, all the graduates of Kelly Gilliland, make sure you call him and check into this. It would be a really great thing to do. No, you're also a veteran, and you help a lot of veterans navigate the civilian world and getting on with things. So there are a lot of veterans who come back, and they don't quite know what to do, and or some of them have some injuries and stuff like that.
As a veteran, we've been in there and we have a system set up to help us do everything. Our pay is taken care of. We know when we eat, where we're going to go. So we don't have to do a lot of stuff ourselves. When you walk out of that environment where you're so useful, everything to being taken care of, to the corporate or civilian world, you don't have that support mechanism. And some people don't have the skills of, hey, I need to update my resume, but how do I put what I think is boring in the Navy or the Army or the services into something that sells myself? So there's ways to take what you do and put it in there. As an example, I'm just a network administrator. All right, great.
Right, people might say, and that's just that. Yeah.
And that's what they think that they are. But I'm like, okay, you're a network administrator, and if you're on a ship, you could be running a $20, $30 million networking environment of multiple systems, creating a homogeneous system out there for things to work with.
And yeah, that's huge. I mean, that's a big responsibility. You mess that up, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money to take everything down, and then you're in trouble.
Yeah,
but
Things won't run, and then you sink or something. I don't know.
And people teach you, hey, I can manage large enterprise network. Mm. Just besides being a network administrator, I know how to deal with this. Or if you are a leading petty officer, you know how to manage and work with subordinates. And there's a lot people don't understand. When you have those personal problems of someone who's junior to you, you have to take care of them.
Mm.
How do you deal with that one in the civilian world of someone who's going through all that stuff?
So if you go into a job and you say, hey, I've got this skill, I've managed these people, I know how to deal with interpersonal relations and things like that, and they may not think of that as an asset or skill set that they have when they get out of the Navy.
And it's just those are just a couple examples of things that they do. Each individual is something unique for what they do, but you can take that and put it in terminologies out there. Some other enterprises out there help sailor or service members do that, and some don't because it's a unique skill. Because in the military, you have a certain lingo or language that you talk about, which if you're in the service, you know about, but if you walk out of the service, no one knows what you're talking about. So how do you take all that and transfer it around?
So because you've been both in the military training individuals in the military, the Cisco systems, et cetera, and they implement that in the military. So you know the lingo that they have specific to there, but there's also maybe different language that's used outside in the civil, like at DeVries when you're teaching. Do you use the same terms that, or there's a little crossover?
Some of them, there's a lot of crossover for the technical terms, but something unique for the service may not carry over in the civilian world,
right.
Unless there's someone who's out there and then someone who's prior service and they get it and it might be brought up. So it's just how many people are who you're working with and what you're doing out there.
Mm-hmm. So you're providing a huge service for veterans who are coming out and who are a little bit lost or trying to find their way in the civilian world. So that is a particular coaching service or something?
That is a new coaching enterprise that I'm bringing up, working on it. We're still in the development phases of it, making sure that we have everything lined up for what is required. And it's going to be veterans in transition to help out, to pull the veterans who are leaving the service to either to provide the services in-house or be able to outsource them to people who are specific for that. So if someone's coming up and they need specific information for medical stuff, we can direct them to entities or organizations that will help them specifically with that to get answers. So it's almost like a central hub of information of pointing people to the right direction.
I see. So is this something that you have like a staff or something doing, or you're just, this is, you're, it's still coalescing, is going to be together in the next 2 weeks or something?
Probably getting more putting the blueprints in of what we're going to do and pulling it out. It'll probably be within the next 6 months before I fully launch it.
All right.
Just making sure that I have all my I's dotted and T's crossed. Because when someone's coming out and they're trusting you to help them out, I want to be able to make sure I provide that the information that they need.
That's right.
Because there's a loss of, hey, I need to find a job. I need to get some income coming in. If I have a family and a spouse, I need to take care of those too. So that's why I'm taking a little bit longer to develop this, make sure I have the resources there to help out.
That makes sense. So I know we were walking back from lunch back to the seminar yesterday, I guess it was, and you were mentioning that in the service or the VA or something, there are some monetary resources if the person knows how to tap into that. And that's something that you know about. And so that's part of the program where you can actually hook up things so that the person has some extra support? Or
there is. If they are honorably discharged and they got their VA benefits, the VA will be a huge resource for them to help do stuff. But a lot of people who don't know that they want to start their small business is that the VA offers small business loans for vets up to $2 million.
Wow.
You got to have your business plan. So the sailor's like, oh, the service members, I don't have a business plan. Right, well, how do I write it?
Mm-hmm.
Business plan can be written very simple if you have the concept and everything down. So those are like the services that I want to provide.
Fantastic.
When you come in, and then you work with the Small Business Association too to create that so they can continue what the American dream is having our small entrepreneur businesses running and creating the backbone of our country still.
Right. So you think in another 6 months or so?
I believe within 6 months I'm going to have it up.
Right.
Probably by January will be the launch.
Okay. And so if people are interested in getting a hold of you regarding that, to get assistance personally, how do they keep in touch with you?
Right now they can email me.
All right.
My email is kelster_2000@yahoo.com.
Okay. So and it's just put K-E-L-L-Y.
K-E-L-L. S-T-E-R.
Okay, Kelster.
Kelster_2000@yahoo.com. And just put in the subject line VET, Vets in Transition.
Perfect. Fantastic. This has been so informative to me, and I'm sure it's been really informative to the listening audience. So we've covered a lot of different things. I know that you're very passionate in a number of areas. And so those are two areas that you're very passionate in, both teaching and being an educator, a leading educator in figuring out how to use the personality of each individual, each student to reinforce and to support their own learning abilities to enhance it to the best degree possible. And so is that something that you think perhaps an expertise you have that you could teach other educators in some of the workshops and things that you're doing in the future?
Yeah, definitely. With the passion that I have for teaching, because someone who's teaching, as they say, teachers just don't do it for money.
That's for sure.
For the love of it. Being a bank code, there's a little bit more benefit for having that for the cash coming in. So if someone's interested in learning how to understand the fundamentals of bank code or how to speed code someone, they can still contact me at that address and I can guide them to get in some classes or do some virtual training. We have virtual training too offered and see where they want to go.
So for educators, it'd be a great thing for them also to consider learning more about bank code because you found it to be a very helpful addition to your toolbox of teaching skills.
Yep.
And the students respond positively, and it gives them good social skills. So there are those two passions. Any other passions you want the listening audience to know about?
Those are my main passions that I love. That's what keeps me going every day.
Fantastic. Well, Kelly, I'm so honored that I met you and had a chance to talk to you. And so, listening audience, we have all the information there, and it's also on our podcast and on the blog. So if you go to naturalsolutionswithdrj.com, that's all one word. Well, it's not really one word, but it's a one long string. You can see the blog, and we will have the information about Kelly's website, my website, information about one of the reasons why I ask Kelly to talk about this also is in my book, Super Brain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life. In one section on a variety of different ways that you can enhance your brain, I emphasize learning bank code. As you know, my podcast, many of the interviews, at least in the initial phase, were by individuals I interviewed for my two books. And many of these are dementia experts, people who know a lot about Alzheimer's and how to keep the brain healthy. And one of the things that we know, that one sign of dementia, or the beginning signs of Alzheimer's, is when a person starts being more isolated and not interacting with other people as frequently. And part of the reason why that is because they realize their skill sets are going down, and maybe they're playing cards or other things, and they just aren't as competitive as they used to be, or they just can't put it together better. And so other people get a little frustrated. They feel bad about themselves, so they start isolating themselves from other people. And I truly believe that, even based on the structure of the brain, using bank code and studying bank code enhances your ability to connect with other people. And as such, it enables you to keep this interaction with other people, because we are social beings. Human beings are social beings. And studying bank code is sort of like learning another language, too. They often say that learning another language is really healthy for the brain if it's starting to fail a little bit. So learning bank code is a great thing. So I suggest everyone learn bank code.
Yes.
And so we have new resources here for you. And Kelly is in the San Diego area.
Yep,
you
San Diego.
So if you're interested in his live classes also, be sure to get in touch with him. So this is Dr. J. Urging you to take the natural path to optimal health, and we'll see you and have you listen to our next podcast. Thanks so much. For further information about bank code, go to fourcards.com. That's fourcards.com. Once again, that is fourcards.com. For your information about bank code.